It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America,
Australia,
France,
Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Here we go, off and running on this 13th day of April, 2023. This is The Horn, headon.live is where you'll find us on the interweb, too. So that's where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, netcap, multimedia extravaganza that is The Horn chat room. And in 3 hours of that this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. Come on, back off the gain a little bit, Robin. All time zones in between the great globe round. And where, if you pop by the chat room at headon.live for this thorn in the side Thursday, you'll be greeted by early arrivers Irish Dave and Anatole. And from far across the pond, our dear friend Claire. Hi from hailing in Hove to all. Proper April showers here. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for popping by, Claire. I know it's late for you. But... it's wonderful to see you. Of course, the gang is capably moderated by Horn Chief Agronomist and Chief Mathematician and Bud Trimmer Emeritus, Roger in Oregon. Roger says, I'll really be here in a bit, baking bread right now. Ah, I can smell it from here. God, fresh baked bread. All those beautiful, beautiful, uncomplex carbohydrates. Ah. Just gives me the... I think I've got the vapors. Actually, it's just the bread fumes. Hi, I'm Robin. It's Thorn in the Side Thursday, and every program here at The Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. So thanks go out to our 13th day of the month subscribers. And that means we say thank you ever so kindly to Gary and Gaia and to Paul. Thank you so much. Thank you to Ralph's jumping in late yesterday evening for the extra kitten. And thanks to David, working tirelessly away up in the second semester of 1L up in Oregon. I hope things are going swimmingly there. Not sure what the curriculum's like these days. It's been a little while since I had my cup of coffee at up on Tort Flats at Harvard on the Mon. But I hope it's going well, David. I've been rooting for you all along. So where's the fundraising goal, y'all? Well, it's at $1,385. Yep. Yep, $1,385. We are unfunded for today, yesterday, Tuesday, Monday, and $185 of last Friday. It'd be great if we could finish last week before we finish this week, because there's a lot of... I'm just dealing with stuff. And this is how we deal with it. You know, I wish I had a rich uncle or something, but sadly I don't. Car's got to have bearings, car's got to have brakes, car's got to have tires, because car just rolled over 100,000-mile mark. Yeah. But at any rate, hopefully knock out 185, or God, if we could knock out a day of funding or two. Girl can dream. But thank you all for keeping this program on the air for as long as you have. I hate talking about fundraising, but you know, here we are. I know, Claire. Claire says, "Ooh, I can smell the bread from over the pond." Yes, it gets up in the glutenosphere and travels the world round. And it has been a beautiful. The last 4 days have been the most beautiful days of 2023 thus far here in the hills and hollers of Almost Level West by Coal Man Chinyastan. And naturally, I've been inside for almost all of them. And tomorrow, Annette and I are going to go out. We've got a couple of things we have to do, a couple of appointments. And so naturally, it's going to cloud up and rain. But we'll have a good cup of coffee together, and I'll enjoy that, and I hope she will as well. So it really is Thorn in the Side Thursday. I encourage you to check out, and it's just technical stuff. It would be so much easier just to say stay with the stream at 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. But go over to TuneIn and check out the Malloy program. There's a lot of crossover between the Truth Seekers and the Horn Family Community Congregation, and of course the Terra Busters. Tara and I will be subbing for Mike this evening at 9 Eastern. And we always have a raucous conversation. Tara and I are actually talking about, once a week, just her and me getting together on air. Because when we sub for Malloy, the time just is like, it's gone. Wait, did I just make the same noise that Leslie Stahl made at Marginal Trailer Queen? No, that was more of a... but the time flies. Tara and I have such a good time together. We're thinking maybe we'll take one of the evenings. Maybe Thursdays. I don't know how it's going to play out. Maybe Tuesdays. And just do a Super Friends thing every week. I think it would be an absolute blast. And speaking of tune in, by the way, like and subscribe. Please, whatever podcast platform you're listening on, we're seeing an actual increase in the numbers, and that's fan-freaking-tastic. It's amazing, because the more people that come into this conversation, the more people find out just exactly what a unique and what a wonderful discussion we've been having here for 20 years. And that blows my mind. 20 years. It was the spring of 2003 when I went back and started filling in for Dr. Bill for 6 weeks. And that was the birthing of the Horn. And I short of my marriage, I haven't done anything that I've liked for 20 years. But here we are. And the more people join in the conversation, the more voices we hear, the greater our sense of, or at least I hope, the greater our sense of understanding. But like and subscribe and leave a comment, and over on TuneIn, if you're listening to the Horn Player on TuneIn, please press that heart button, and eventually we will get to 1,000 unique listeners. Absolutely unique. And I had a question the other day over on Podbean asking, does it cost TuneIn? No, I think you can just listen on TuneIn. We certainly never charge for anything. Nobody's ever been charged so much as a penny for listening to the program. Everything's voluntary. Everything is by gift. But you might have to put up with some ads. TuneIn, not actually understanding the content of this program, has been known to run the occasional Exxon Mobil ad over top of the program. Yeah. Genius. Pure genius. You see, you might have to put up with some of that, which I find gross. But the best place to listen, the best place to listen, if you're listening live, is just to listen through headon.live. No ads, no buy gold now, no Bose Wave Radio sitting on your IKEA furniture next to your bed with the mattress that was developed with foam made from NASA materials and conceptualized in Sweden, and on which you can pick up a bowling ball with your Oric vacuum cleaner. Whatever. None of that's here. None of that. I'm in a good mood. Glory, hallelujah. Ferg and his beloved were out earlier today, and they brought me home a surprise, and I'm all excited because I'm going to deal with it this weekend. Because I have had the devil's own time finding these. You might remember, those of you who have been with the program a long time, when I was able to be up and around after surgery, the first and able to cook, the first thing I did was, well, it was a beautiful day for that time of year, and I went down to the Wiggling Pig on Claremont in Birmingham and was just cruising through the meat aisle, and I saw, gasp, oxtails. This is the food porn portion of the program. And I went home and I made oxtail soup. And Annette said, and I've been cooking, I've cooked a lot of stuff over the course of 30 years knowing her. And she said it was without a doubt the single most wonderful thing that I had ever made, that oxtail soup. So Ferg brought me a package of oxtails. And I'm going to recreate that this weekend. You know, some crispy, crunchy, crispity, soft in the middle French bread to go with it. And oh, it was so good. Really, really excited. I had no idea. But he found a little meat shop in Beckley and brought them to me. And I am super duper double plus excited. Now, sooner or later, I got to get it. Asa, Brother Deacon. Wait, you were cruising for meat in Alabama? Not cool, Kincaid. Not cool. A little early to drive the program into the gutter, isn't it? They had a great meat department there at that Piggly Wiggly on Claremont. It was the bougiest Piggly Wiggly I've ever seen in my life. That's the one that had the great big bank of craft beers, and you could just get a draft, and there was a cup holder in the buggy, for God's sakes, and you could just have a beer while you were moving up and down the aisles and ogling the Kaneka, all the different Kaneka sausages and the Kaneka bacon. My God, Kaneka bacon's good. What about, I'm trying to avoid going into the swamp, but well, I'm going into the swamp I shall. And I had not mentioned it. It's been going on for a couple of days now. Yeah, oopsie. A plastics recycling plant in Talibandiana caught fire. Been burning for 2 days. It was bad enough that 2,000 people downwind of the plant have been evacuated and are still evacuated. Firefighters now say that they expect it to be 99% extinguished by Thursday evening or Friday morning. Vast plumes of inky black smoke billowed into the air, and the firefighters say it's like, it'll be like 99% extinguished either by this evening or tomorrow morning. The EPA has said, no, there's nothing toxic in that smoke. Really? But the people there in Richmond, Talibandiana, who have voted for candidates who have done everything in their power to deregulate industries that can catch fire and send toxic plumes of black, inky, oily smoke billowing into the air. The Richmond Fire Department Chief Tim Brown said it was 90% out this afternoon. But state fire marshal says the plumes are definitely toxic. Here's the thing, and this is some of the hard learning that we've done here in the Appalachian Sacrifice Zone. Namely, and this goes back to something that a dear friend of mine taught me years ago, a public health expert and a real live, no kidding, honest to goodness scientist. You know, not one of those drink a quart of refrigerated pee-pee and keep the COVID away kinds of people. No, a real one. Um, Yeah, Kay saying, if only the South could do politics as well as they do food. Also, haven't we figured out how plastic, bad plastics are? Oh, well, stupid's in this country. I could do a three-hour program on the inherent cognitive dissonance there is that lies in being a Southerner. But I will refrain from that, Kay. You know. Maybe, whether it's cooking down on the bayou and in the New Orleans area, or cornbread and grits and brown beans and, oh dear God, it's that time of year, ramps here in Appalachia. There's a ramp fest coming up. I was talking to our pal Arnold in PA, and he said they might come down and do a little camping for the ramp festival over in the greater Richwood, West Virginia metropolitan area. I told him I'll come see him if they do. But the thing about the fire is that that black smoke, the EPA can say it's not toxic, but like I said, a very dear friend of mine who's a real live, no kidding scientist taught me years ago. Ultrafine particulates. Particulate matter exists in multiple sizes. The EPA has two standards. One is PM10, the other is PM2.5. These are microns. Ultrafines are 1 micron or below. And as this individual, Dr. McCauley, told me years ago, he has yet to find a substance when reduced to ultrafine status, isn't carcinogenic. Even things that are not carcinogenic at 2.5 or 10 microns becomes carcinogenic at 1 and below because of the invasive nature of it as a result of the size and its ability to infiltrate at nearly a subcellular level. And so the residents there in Richmond, Talibandiana, who have voted for Republicans long and long and long, who hate nothing more than job-killing regulations, well, now they're worried about their health because of the people they voted for all the time. Eventually, we will find out what kind of failure to observe regulations or the regulations that were rolled back maybe during the Nero administration or hell, maybe the dim leader administration, the reign of error, we'll find out that it had something to do with this place catching fire, because it seems that is always the case. And my heart goes out to them. It does. Well, Kay, I'm glad I can provide some kind of relief. Malloy program tonight. Oh, good. I can get all pissed off some more at the American Nazi Party instead of my Cincinnati Reds before trying to sleep tonight. You and Tara are great. Looking forward to this evening. I'm glad you enjoy it, Kay. That just means the world to me. Thank you so much. Although, these are not the early 70s. Being a Reds fan is not a matter of watching the big red machine just mow through the National League. No, there's not much mowing going on anymore there at the Great American Ballpark. I, too, was raised a Reds fan. And thank you to Don. Thank you, Don, in Prince George, British Columbia. We have a challenge on the table to help knock down our fundraising goal. It's at $1,385 right now. Don says, hey, raise $50, I'll double it. So that's wonderful, Don. Thank you so much. If we can scare up some combination that works out to $50, it'll turn into $100, and we'll be down at $1,285. And that'll mean we're only $85 from being fully funded for last week. So thank you. Thank you again, Don, so very much. God, I love the adorable kitty pictures that Ralph sends me. Kayla's such a little princess. Her little white collar. Just magic. I see the knick-knack bric-a-brac shelf in the background. Ralph's, how do you keep her off of that? There's a bronze horse, and there's some little doggy figurines. And I've never met a cat that wouldn't look at that and say, oh, that's all coming down. But then again, Kayla's fascinated with the blinds, and we know that. Flavio notes, the EPA said no such thing. In fact, quite the contrary. Some debris from Indiana plastics fire may contain asbestos, EPA warns, as particulate matter enters the air. The EPA has been monitoring air quality at 15 locations around the site for the possibility of toxic chemicals from the incinerated plastics. Yeah, no, not right. And of course, as I mentioned earlier, yeah, there's problems at the factory because there are old frustrations over safety hazards at the recycling plant. Yeah, those are job-killing safety hazards. Job-killing regulation safety hazards. Just ask any Republican. Ask any member of the MAGAT party. The EPA now says they've detected particulate matter from smoke in the air, raising fears that cancer-causing toxins could be spreading through the area. This is the part where they don't get it. If it was ultra-fine particulate matter of unicorn sparkle fart dust, it would still be toxic and carcinogenic. Ultra-fines are, by definition, at least according to Dr. McCauley, carcinogenic, per se. It's not even necessarily the chemical compounds which make it worse, but just the fact that it's ultra-fine. And the example he always used with me in instructing and teaching me was that titanium white is known in scientific research circles as being entirely inert. Won't hurt you, doesn't interact, doesn't react, doesn't do anything. But when you reduce it to an ultrafine particulate size, suddenly it too is carcinogenic. He said he's had a long-running bet with a colleague of his going back years and years and years now. It's just a $5 bet. Whoever finds the non-carcinogenic ultrafine particle first gets the $5. And as he informed me years ago, the $5 is still sitting in his desk. And so whether it's East Palestine, Ohio, or Richmond, Tallahassee, you know, I wonder sometimes if these plants spring up in places where the capitalists know that they won't have any trouble. It's like why reasonably responsible companies, at least in their home countries, like BMW and Mercedes-Benz, when they come to the United States, they don't locate in good union states like Michigan. They go to Alabama, where they know that the government will allow them to a considerable amount of leeway in underpaying, underbenefiting, and generally mistreating the workforce. The same goes for, that's Mercedes-Benz in Alabama, BMW in South Carolina, Hyundai in Alabama, on and on and on. Because at the end of the day, profits matter more than the people who create the profits, because you can always get more people. And since we started the program on a, I guess we'd call it an environmental or environmental justice note, Darlene in Connecticut says, oh, great. A deadly fungus with mysterious origins is raising alarms. Yeah, we talked about this a few weeks ago. Candidus auris, A-U-R-I-S, spreading around the world, hard to detect, harder to treat. Yeah, this stuff is deadly. Very often deadly. Popped up in 2009 in Tokyo. It was found for the first time in the United States in 2016 at a hospital in New York. It now appears in 28 states in the District of Columbia. 2,300 people last year infected by Candida auris, spreading, according to the CDC, at an alarming rate. And hey, look, it's apparently proliferating as a result of climate change. You know, the China...
It's a Chinese hoax. Definitely a Chinese hoax.
And they lead to things like sepsis and septicemia. It doesn't show up in common blood tests. Or at least 50% of the time it gets missed. And although I did not watch even the first full episode of The Last of Us on Annette's advice. The first sight of blood, she was like, no, Robin, this is not going to be good for you. I do remember how the thing begins with a scientist saying, oh, I'm not worried about the viruses. It's fungi that keep me up at night. And of course, it's medication resistant. And apparently the spores live on surfaces outside the body for weeks. That's just great. Thanks for the reminder, Darlene. And that's not sarcasm on my part. I promise it is not. So we've got, let's see, toxic, yeah, fires, funguses, fungi. We don't serve mushrooms in this bar. Why not? I'm a fungi. Don't joke, Robin. Then the big breaking news of the afternoon is the arrest of Jack Teixeira, T-E-I-X-E-I-R-A. Jack is a 21-year-old dude, a member of the Massachusetts Air National Guard. The FBI rolled in and arrested him today in relationship to their ongoing investigation of the odd little leaked documents. Not little, but the decidedly strange leaked documents scandal. I'm sure the maggots are already bloviating. The leaked documents, which were voluminous enough and apparently gave away some fairly significant information, were tucked away in chat rooms for games and on a Discord server. And Attorney General Merrick Garland, in an announcement, said today the Justice Department arrested Jack Douglas Teixeira in connection with an investigation into alleged unauthorized removal, retention, and transmission of classified national defense information. Teixeira is an employee of the United States Air Force National Guard. He's being charged in civilian criminal court. He is an airman first class. He entered the Air National Guard in September 2019. And his posting has been at Otis Air National Guard Base on Cape Cod. And he is a cyber transport systems journeyman. the documents were found online last month. They contained information about U.S. Intelligence on the war that Mother Muscovy is waging on Ukraine. They also contain assessments of the combat effectiveness of Ukraine's military, some intelligence gathering on friendly nations like South Korea and Israel. Yeah, we spy on our friends because our friends spy on us. And the Discord server was a gaming group. The leader was identified as OG. The Washington Post saw 300 photos of classified documents that were allegedly leaked. And remember, and this is, I think, somewhat important, Teixeira, the Fairman First Class, is identified in various news reports as a, I love the dainty delicacy of the for-profit media, a gun enthusiast. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say that there aren't any liberal or progressive gun enthusiasts. But compared to the right-wing gun humpers, it is a statistically insignificant number. So when we hear gun enthusiast, I mean, I was the guy who shot up the old National Bank in Louisville, was he a gun enthusiast? How about Audrey Hale in Nashville? Was she a gun enthusiast? How about the young man who shot up the school in Uvalde, Texas? Was he a gun enthusiast? Is one a gun enthusiast until one's enthusiasm for guns leads one to commit mass slaughter? The point being that little tell, that little breadcrumb, kind of tells us maybe a lot about what Jack Teixeira's political leanings might be. Which brings me to a note that I actually got from our pal Joy in Ann Arbor. Earlier today, she said, send the big guy who leaked those documents to the Ukrainian front, but first ask him real quick if he got any of the docs from Dump. I confess I haven't talked a lot about this story because it seemed... Well, I better not use the smoke and fire analogy, given what we led with in the program. But it seemed to be lacking in depth. But that was the first thing that popped. Well, huh? I wonder if maybe he got somehow or another some. Because why would sensitive intelligence information be found at Otis Air Force Base on Cape Cod? But then again, that is such 19th century thinking. The internet is everywhere. And he was a what? What was the official, his official MOS? Cyber Transport Systems Journeyman. And while Randy Radar said, yeah, he probably didn't do it, reserve airmen don't have access to that stuff. They rolled a tank up to his house. Well, he's not in the Air Force Reserve. He's in the Air Force, the Air National Guard, and apparently he is a full-timer. He's not one of those serve-on-the-weekends guys. and posted to Otis Air Base on, again, Cape Cod. And that he may have had accident. Remember, Eddie Snowden wasn't even in the military. He was just a contractor. Yeah, that's the way I'm thinking, Emilio. Bonnie and Clyde, gun enthusiasts. Firearms enthusiast. John in Central PA says, holy shit, Merrick Garland can charge people? Who would have thought? If I remember, he didn't have any problem charging Andrew Gillum, the guy who came within a scant maybe 1,000 or so votes of actually saving Florida from the nightmare that is Ron Monkey Up DeKlantis. He got hit with some bullshit, bogus, racist charges. Yeah, Merrick can do it when Merrick wants to do it. Back to the oxtails. Don in West Tennessee. Hey, Don. As a kid, my mom made oxtail soup. Delicious. It's never been available in these parts. I came across some, much to my surprise, and it was priced at an effing $9.95 a pound. We were what you'd call not so well off, so I'm sure she made it as cheap as a cheap meal. It used to be cheap meat. Needless to say, I passed on the damn tail. Keep on what you're doing. Thank you, Don. There are no such things as cheap cuts of meat anymore here in the first few years of the third decade of the 21st century. You know, fajitas became a thing because flank steak was about as cheap a cut of meat as you could find on a cow. Go price the flank steak. One nicely cut flat iron steak, I usually get them at Kroger's when I get them. I haven't gotten one since God was a baby, it seems like. But I used to get them because if you watch the manager specials, you could pick one up for $4 or $5 a pound, and one of those would make two or three, maybe four really delicious steak sandwiches. And it's the second tenderest cut of meat on the beef. Sorry, I'm not trying to put the vegetarians off. I apologize. One of those now costs $20. But the oxtails were manageable. They were not $9.95 a pound, so I'm looking forward to making it. It's not fancy. It just, because of the nature of the oxtails, you get... It just thickens so beautifully, and you use a little red wine, your onions, your garlic, maybe some ramps. Not many, though. It don't take much ramps to ramp up a meal. But it's good to hear from you, Don. Jack in Shreveport, Malloy show question. So you and Tara will be on the air tonight at 9 for an hour. I guess tune in is the main way to listen. It's the only way to listen. Progressive Voices has its own TuneIn channel, and so you go to Progressive Voices on TuneIn, and at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 8 p.m. Central for you, Jack, it'll be right there. And we always, Jack said, I haven't heard you and Tara together for quite a while, so I'm excited to hear y'all. We always have fun because we just, I don't know, simpatico minds or whatever, but it becomes like a very fast game of Pong. Which reminds me, I learned about a new game the other day. Everybody knows what beer pong is, right? With the little red cups. Somebody has come up with the idea of human-scale beer pong. With, like, dodgeballs and buckets. And I saw some people playing that the other day. It was just a hoot. It was absolutely a hoot. Thank you, Flavio. Teixeira. Teixeira is a Portuguese-Galician surname. Toponymic referring to a grove of yew trees. The guys from Massachusetts, lots of Portuguese there. Yes, there are. Yes, there are. Teixeira. See, I see that X, and I never know if it's Spanish or maybe if it's indigenous. But, well, Teixeira, that X being the SH sound, that's the same thing that you get with a lot of Mesoamerican languages. Tom in sunny San Rafael reminds us, all smoke is toxic. Years ago, I was at work in Richmond, California, when there was a large explosion in the Chevron refinery just across the freeway. I left work immediately and headed home to avoid the black cloud. An hour or so later, a Chevron spokesperson was being interviewed on the radio, and the reporter asked if the smoke was toxic. They didn't know for sure yet, but I was surprised at the candor of the spokesperson, who said, well, all smoke is toxic. And that's true. It just is. And some is more fragrant than other. Oh, and I saw this. Great. This is going to work out well. The New York Police Department is rolling out some RoboCops. No, remember, what was the name of that tech outfit, Boston Scientific or something like that, and they came up with the robot dogs, so to speak. They're four-legged. Well, the notion, Boston Dynamics. Back in 2021, the NYPD was talking about using Boston Dynamics robot dogs. These suckers weigh 400 pounds. And they're just kind of creepy looking. But in 2021, the NYPD said, we might use some of those, like for people, where places where we don't want to send people in. And there was an absolute public revulsion for the idea. But now that Eric Adams is the mayor of New York, he calls himself a computer geek. He also is a former member of the NYPD and rose to the rank of captain. Yeah, Randy Radar, the hypo dog. Ars Technica says a lot of police departments already have them, but they're used in, like, bomb detection, which, for the most part, are just fancy remote-controlled cars, totally dumb remote-controlled devices that have no automation and require one or several people to operate it. But according to Mayor Adams, he wants the semi-autonomous variety. Saying, and remember, this guy just seems a little nutty. Maybe a lot corrupt. I really wish I had Tara to ask about this one, but he said, if we were not willing to move forward and use technology on how to properly keep cities safe, then you will not keep up with those doing harmful things. So what he's saying the crooks are going to get 400-pound robot dogs that cost umpty bajillion dollars a piece. So the NYPD plans to deploy a single K5 robot named Nightscope, 400 pounds, 5 feet tall, wheeled robot, looks like a real life giant R2-D2. Great. It's a ball of sensors. It has no appendages, 360-degree camera system, thermal camera, LIDAR, sonar, GPS, 16 microphones, and speakers to play back pre-recorded or live messages. autonomously has the ability to patrol an area, detect people, recognize license plates, and facial recognition. At least they haven't equipped it with phasers yet. Oh, and big thanks to our buddy Texas T. Texas T gave me one of my best giggles in a while. He put a graphic up on my Facebook page, which I then shared to my Instagram page. And it's a piece of animation, or it's like a screenshot from the old Star Trek cartoon. Kirk and Spock and some dead crewman on the ground. It's as we feared, Captain. They forced him to use pronouns and his dick fell off. Oh, God. Texas T, thank you so much. I don't know where you find this crap, but God. Some days they just save me. I don't know why, when I saw it, I immediately thought of little Neo Maxi Zoom Dweeby. Benny Dry Wife Shapiro, but, well, I did, and I guess that's on me. Kind of all over the place this evening, and I understand that. Yeah. K with a note. At least they haven't equipped it with phasers. Okay. Stop giving them ideas, Robin. I should learn. I'm sure the in development alpha phase next gen ones have phasers and photon torpedoes and death rays, and I wonder if it responds to a command of Klaatu Barada Nikto. Kay, by the way, also added, isn't our country great? No health care, no reproductive freedom, transgenocide, but hey, when you get arrested, you won't even have to deal with a human. Wait till the AI learns a little bit more and just turns into a stone-cold Nazi. Because that seems to be something that happens easily. Tech in the New York City police. Lee in New York says, the city's getting a lot of speed cameras because 10 miles per hour over the 25-mile-an-hour speed limit is the worst crime. Well, yeah. The mayor's going to cut down on that. Clarence, meanwhile, says, Robot Dogs, I would like to be present when Mayor Adams cashes that thank you check from Boston Dynamics. It'll clear, Clarence, it'll clear. I just tuned in, Steve in New York says, so I don't know the details of what you're talking about. However, I know enough to say this. Adams was a pig and is therefore untrustworthy. And two, C number one. Tough on crime, y'all. Tough on crime. You know, I guess Jim Jacket Off Jordan's going to go to New York and straighten out the damn New Yorkers and make good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, anti-sexual, Christian, Republicans of everybody, and talk about crime! Crime in New York! Only one problem. The crime rate in Jim Jacket Off Jordan's district is considerably worse than it is in Gotham. Yeah, I was trying to figure out a way to work that in there, Steve. Steve says, the robot dogs, they're including sharks with frickin' laser beams. Get on it, Boston Dynamics. I mean, we're just doing this for you for free. Your next generation of robot cops needs to look like sharks with frickin' laser beams. Who am I kidding? Some MIT grad is already hard at work on it. I remember when they first came out years and years and years ago, the prototypes, there was video of people like at Boston Dynamics, you know, kicking them, knocking them over. And I'm not kidding, the comment section, because that was back before I knew to stay out of the comment section. There were people saying, oh, they're kicking that poor robot dog. And I remember thinking, oh, you poor clueless soul, you have no idea what that those robot dogs are designed to do. And here we are. And granted, we're a day past prayer meeting Wednesday. Sometimes the timing doesn't quite work out, but there was a megachurch in the greater Chicagoland area, Harvest Bible Chapel. And at one point in time, the pastor of Harvest Bible Chapel was one James MacDonald. They sacked him at Harvest Bible Chapel in 2019. Later on, they even took action to make sure he couldn't preach anymore after what they described as a substantial pattern of sinful behavior. Now, when that's said about a preacher, usually, well, I know at least we are inclined here to think that there's something skeevy and perverted going on. But in this particular case, I guess James MacDonald had relocated from the greater Chicagoland area to Coronado, California, where the 62-year-old MacDonald was recently arrested after he hit a vehicle as he was parking his truck. He hit the vehicle in the next space over. A 59-year-old woman got out of the car, apparently not real happy about the situation, and would you be? At which point, the 62-year-old James MacDonald, man of God, leapt out of his truck and attacked the woman. And witnesses aided her, and she was taken to the hospital. Upon further inspection, authorities found a freedom protector in the minister's pick-em-up truck. He was arraigned on March 29th. On charges of assault by means likely to produce great bodily injury, also charged with battery with serious bodily injury. He could be looking at 7 years in the stir. His pettifogger, a guy named Michael Panzer, no, really, Michael Panzer. That's what Panzer's pants. Leave it alone, Robin. His pettifogger said, my client has never nor would ever intentionally harm another human being. Yeah, I guess her face just kept running into his fist. Weren't we talking about this? Lawyer Panzer said, the charges as written are not accurate as to what took place. We believe the evidence will show. We believe. That's one of those weasel words that the pettifoggers use. We believe the evidence will show Dr. MacDonald's, now he's a doctor, intent and conduct was neither malicious nor correctly assigned in the charges filed. But apparently he was confrontational even when he was at Harvest Bible Church. And once he got bounced out of there and defrocked, I guess. Well, I guess he still gets to preach to whoever will listen. So he does a guest preacher thing and preaches online. Sucker has over a quarter of a million followers over on that that toxic microblogging site. And he spends a lot of his time hollering at Harvest Bible Church. And so I guess at the tender age of 62, he was going to witness to the 59-year-old woman whose vehicle he had just dinged with his great big old pick-em-up truck. Man of God never knows when he's going to need his freedom protector, because, you know, the Christians are persecuted in America. Because I'm not that well versed on California laws and whatnot, can you just put your freedom protector under the seat of your truck and go toddling around San Diego County? Can you do that? Is that okay? Yeah, if he has a concealed carry permit, what kind of a rationale would he offer? Well, you know, I need to carry a concealed weapon because I carry a lot of prayers with me, and I might be robbed for all the prayers I'm carrying. Yeah. I know, Kay. There you go with them damn pesky facts, Robin. Remember what old 666 himself, Ronald Wilson Reagan, the guy who was frequently upstaged by a chimpanzee, said?
Well, Mommy, facts are stupid things.
But Kay adds, hey, you know, good for the church for axing this guy. I'm honestly kind of surprised they didn't say the woman deserved it, seeing as how most churches view women. True enough. And we've got a little follow-up story. I saw a little remark from our pal Kenda down in the greater Springfield area, who gave a shout-out to Kenda when I saw the story about State Senator Mike Moon of Missouri. Remember him? He's the guy who is in favor of marrying off 12-year-old little girls. Now, he has since clarified his remark. Saying, I do not support adults marrying children. That's preposterous to even think I do. Yeah, 12-year-old boy, it's a different story if a 12-year-old boy rapes a 12-year-old girl, because then, I mean, the Bible says clearly that the 12-year-old boy should... No, he didn't say any of this, but... I do not support child rape, but he did say he supported the 12-year-old boy marrying the 12-year-old girl that he raped. So, he added a little more detail this time through. The young man was 12. I think when they're 12, we can call them boys. The young man was 12. The girl... curiously, she's not a young woman, was 11. Their parents allowed them to marry. There was no forcing in the situation, but the parents... Wait, so the marriage was the 12-year-old boy's idea? He keeps digging. He has clearly not learned the first rule of holes. When you're in one, stop digging. There was no forcing in the situation, but the parents wisely took the boy to their home, and the girl's parents took her to their home. Eventually, a child was born to the girl. And then years later, when they were able to support themselves and they were more mature, they were able to begin living together and still living together today. That really doesn't make this scenario any better now, does it? Back in 2018, when he was opposing legislation that would make 12-year-olds getting married illegal, he said, again, 2018,
instead of running down to the abortion clinic, they allowed these 12-year-olds to marry. If we don't allow the parents to have some say, we're actually, as a state, removing fundamental right to, from the mom and the dad. It's a parent's decision to make. It's their right to make that choice.
God, no. Maybe I'm just some radical lefty, but I'm thinking it might be good public policy just to say, period, at all, ever, 12-year-olds should not get married. Because whatever excuse you come up with for saying that, that should be okay sometimes, rarely, whatever. No. And the fact that that poor little girl had to carry a baby to term, give birth to it sometime in her 11th or 12th year of life. Is so ugly and repulsive and repugnant, I can scarcely express it. Missouri has gotten all progressive, however. And Mike Moon is still unhappy about it. No girl can get married under the age of 16. And any minor has to have a parent or guardian sign off on the marriage. Well, hell, that might as well be a bill of sale. And adults over 21 can't marry anyone under 18. Well, how progressive. And I mention that because we got some more Missouri to deal with. Oh, God. There are so many legislative sessions that are still underway that this just gives me the creeps. Kay adding... forget the damn rationale they give. Notice how everything they do is last-minute emergency rule. This is their last gasp at power. They know they're losing. And then she adds, he gave away the game by bringing abortion into the whole thing. It's all about controlling people they don't like and view as second-class citizens. Fuck these people, and I use the word people very loosely. Yeah, see, I think if an 11-year-old girl is pregnant, because, you know, white wingers and the like are always talking about how, you know, there's skeletal differences between girls and boys and men and women. Well, a lot of those skeletal differences haven't really begun to fully form at 11, and God only knows what kind of agony that child had to go through to birth that baby. Point taken, Kay. But like I said, I mentioned, because Missouri is in the process of making sure that trans kids can't get medical care, even if it keeps trans kids from suiciding. And like I said, I'm worried about this one, and for anybody going through transition in this Horn Family Community congregation, I hope to God you're not in Missouri or Alabama or Tennessee or Arkansas or Idaho Stan or Oklahoma Stan or Texas Stan. You get the idea. But this is a big deal because it will metastasize into the other maggot states. And this is not a niche issue. I actually read an shortly thereafter took a handful of ibuprofen from having read it, the AG opinion that is behind this, what you're about to hear. The Attorney General of Missouri, is Andrew Bailey. He is, of course, a maggot. And he has promulgated an emergency regulation today. And once again, you have to know, we have to do the background on this. It's based upon an entire tapestry of outright falsehoods and downright lies that originated with a woman who is a fraud merchant who was affiliated with these feminism appropriating radical reactionary transphobe groups. By the way, that's what we're calling the TERFs anymore. They don't like to be called TERFs, so we're changing the name to feminism appropriating reactionary transphobes. They're farts. She told a whole raft of lies, which a right-wing outlets all over the country ran with, sprinted with, that there were children at the Washington University Gender Clinic in St. Louis who were being forced to transition and having terrible surgeries. Not a word of truth in it. People whose children had been treated at the clinic came forward and said, A, this woman had nothing to do with any treatments. She knew nothing about the treatments. She was not in any ways a part of the treatment process. And our kid went through the process, and it was years long before she or he or they ever got on puberty blockers. And there were no surgeries. Well, it doesn't matter, because the minute the story came out, this same dude, Andrew Bailey, said, we're going to investigate that their gender clinic. And so now he's promulgated a new rule that will strike terror throughout the few million transgender people in this country. Granted, the Tennessee legislature is eager to adjourn now that they have so thoroughly done a buck and wing on their own dicks. More on that in a minute. But Attorney General Andrew Bailey of Missouri has declared that the very treatment that I still take, hormone therapy, is experimental. And the problem is, if you read his attorney general opinion, and this is why I say this is not a niche issue, practically every medical treatment for every medical condition there is would be deemed experimental under this maggot piece of shit's opinion. And so now in Missouri, because this is not legislation, this is the Attorney General using the powers of the office to declare what the law of the state of Missouri is, says that an adult, okay, this is we're no longer talking about children. If I lived in Missouri, this would apply to me. If an adult seeks gender-affirming care in Missouri, that adult must go through 3 years of therapy and demonstrate that they have endured gender dysphoria for at least 3 years, the three most recent consecutive years, before they can even get treatment. He's trying to make an informed consent system more closely resemble the horrifying, nightmarish, suicide-inducing system of the NHS in England and Wales. And if along the way, understand this, please. This is terribly important. When one deals with gender dysphoria, other symptoms can come along with it. Other sequelae can come from it. Sometimes simply having to live a closeted life can result in brutal levels of depression, suicidality, ideation. Things like autism, bipolar disorder, borderline identity disorder. These things can happen independently of, but in parallel with, in tandem with gender dysphoria. So this Attorney General Andrew Bailey says, it's 18 months of multiple therapy sessions before they can seek gender-affirming care. Most recent three consecutive years of gender dysphoria. This guy's putting himself in the position of declaring himself to know better about how to treat this condition. It's not an illness. It's not a mental illness. It's not even a disorder. It is officially a condition, which is something different. But if at any time the therapist diagnoses bipolar disorder, PTSD, complex PTSD, identity disorder, non-gender, of the non-gender variety, clinical depression, whether chemical or from external stimuli, that diagnosis will suffice to keep that adult, again, adult, from being able to access life-saving care. And it will kill people. And frankly, the Attorney General of Missouri, Andrew Bailey, does not give a good goddamn how many trans people it kills. If he could figure out a way to kill all of them, he would. This fascist piece of shit offered up a statement saying that it's for minors, but it's written in such a way that it applies to adults as well. But to the extent that it applies to minors, then what it will do is suffice to prevent the kid from being able to take any steps whatsoever to live authentically, and runs a profound risk of making sure the child dies in torment. This emergency regulation will become effective April 27th, 2023. It will expire February 6th, 2024. This lying piece of dung said, "My office has uncovered a clandestine network of clinics across the state who are harming children by ignoring the science." No, they have not. That is an out-and-out lie. And then this is such a modern a new talking point.
When even progressive countries like Sweden, Norway, Finland, and the United Kingdom have all sharply curtailed these procedures, it is time for the new 90 states to course correct.
This is going to metastasize like the cancer it is throughout any number of maggot states. And by the way, it is written like crap. And they bray about the children. But the fact of the matter is, it applies to adults as well, because they got caught ice cold, stone cold, busted, saying they're starting with the kids because that's where the sentiment lies. But the goal is to erase people from being able to transition at all. Curiously enough, I was reading this even as I was loading my syringe for Stabby Stabby Day. And I looked at that little vial of estradiol cypionate, and I thought, I don't know what I'm going to do when they tell me I can't have that anymore. Probably die. And that's probably the response that the vast majority of trans people in either direction have. Because testosterone saves lives for trans men. Estrogen saves lives for trans women. By the way, Mike Moon and Ash Grove, Missouri. Kenda tells us it's a small town about 20 miles northwest of Springfield. However, it is in Greene County. The original district was gerrymandered from the original district I grew up in, and now the heavier population in that area pretty much controls it. No Democrat can get elected. Only right-wing nut jobs. And I knew that eventually I would... Kay, I'm so sorry. Kay says they don't give a fuck about the truth. All they want to do is make sure certain people aren't welcome in their state. At what point do we just change the country's name to the Nazi States of America? And then Kay turned on the caps lock. Harming children, you piece of shit. The only harm that's being done is you preventing people from fucking living, you goddamn Nazi. And Candace says, Missouri could fill the entire show, but we'll let other states have their fair share. I don't want to hog the glory. Down here in the Ozarks, we say Missouri. That's what I was taught it was up in Fulton there in Callaway County, too, Canada. But I knew people from down around the boot heel and so forth, and they said Missouri. You know, down there in Rush Limbaugh country, round about Cape Girardeau. Matt in San Francisco says, 12-year-olds having babies? We can't have that. They should be cleaning the equipment in the slaughterhouses. Everyone knows their little hands can better squeeze into those nooks and crannies of the slice and dice machines. We need to prioritize our exploitation of children. You are unfortunately and sadly not entirely wrong, Matt. Because apparently, despite federal intervention, there are still children cleaning equipment in slaughterhouses. Because it's a free market economy. News Ninja Gene asks, says, apologies for a dumb question. There is no such a thing. Gene says, are these laws so broad that it will affect women going through menopause and using estrogen? I read the Attorney General's opinion, and it's so broad, it could affect someone going in to have a treatment for toenail fungus. It could affect I don't know, getting a skin tag removed. Experimental procedure. And what we are learning is that these limitations on medical treatment, especially where it concerns women's reproductive health, is literally causing crises in healthcare in these godforsaken maggot shithole states, such that the places are being unstaffed, doctors are leaving, nurses are quitting. Because, frankly, they do not want to be part or parcel or party to the viciousness that inhabits these nightmare places. Kay turned off the caps lock and said, so we're now banning health care because trans people and women exist? Hell of a country. Yeah, Kay, literally, a hell of a country. Guys should probably move along, but like Candace says, let the other states have their fair share. Remember the Don't Say Gay law in Florida? The Florida that monkey up DeKlantis's pet legislature passed, and he signed into law. Some misguided soul said things to me like, well, it only applies through fourth grade, Robin. Damn. Not anymore. And anybody with a pair of functioning brain cells to rub together could see that it was the beginning of something, not a one-off. So Ron Monkey Up DeKlantis is... pet Department of Education, the leadership of which is nothing but a bunch of DeKlaniacs, will take up, probably next month, Don't Say Gay Part 2, The Adventure Continues. And this new proposed regulation doesn't have to be cleared by the legislature. This is just administrative, because just as in Missouri Stan, Florida Stan has figured out that they can do shit without having to pass any laws. And so what's coming next in Florida Stan is Don't Say Gay for grades 5 through the last day of 12th grade. Any teacher violating the regulation faces suspension or the loss of their teaching license in the state of Florida. All lessons, all mention, all talk, all muttering, all whispering, all breathing so much of the idea of sexual orientation and gender identity from grades 4 to 12 will be banned. Period. End of sentence. And Scary Jerry, you know I love you. But it's going to be banned in South Florida just as much as it's going to be banned in Lee County and Dixie County and every other county in Florida. This is why Equality Florida issued its travel advisory and recommendation against anybody who is any part of the LGBTQ plus spectrum, or even people who care and love about and are allies to them. Avoid Florida as though it were the plague, because it is. There is a plague of hate. That is fully involved in Florida. That's terrifying. The Commissioner of Education in Florida, Manny Diaz Jr., hopped on Twitter and said,
students should be spending their time in school learning core academic subjects, not being force-fed radical gender and sexual ideology.
So I guess it's not a core part of the human experience to acknowledge that some people are gay, some people are lesbian, some people are bi, some people are pan, some people are asexual, some people are gender queer, some people are trans. News of the proposal has already reached the White House, and Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre has said it's wrong. It's completely, utterly wrong. It's part of a disturbing and dangerous trend that we're seeing across the nation. President Biden simply said it's hateful. But then again, this is the same Biden administration that said, "Oh, we're gonna not tolerate blanket bans on trans athletes, but you know, we'll put up with them if the states that hate trans kids want to be kind of creative about it." And remember, they've got a legalized kidnapping thing that's working its way through the process now, where parents can kidnap trans kids. Or the state can kidnap trans kids from parents who love trans kids and are taking care of trans kids, providing the care that trans kids need. Once again, please understand, this really is a matter of if they can do it to one, they can do it to all. This is not like Nitwit Nero saying if they can charge me, they can charge you. Well, yeah, Nitwit Nero, right. If you break the law, you can be charged just like anybody else in America. You're not special Don. But I reiterate, fascism always begins with its easiest victims. And frankly, the people who don't conform to right-wing ideas about gender and happen to have been born this way are about as easy as it gets. Unhoused people might be slightly easier. That's why there are spikes under highway overpasses now to keep people from who have nowhere else to sleep from sleeping there. That's fascism too. Also, but any time that fascism can do something like this, when they run out of victim A, they will ramp the game up to victim B. It's not like there isn't historic precedent showing the accuracy of that statement. And this is where we are. Meanwhile, up in New Hampshire today, gee, I wonder why the junior senator from South Carolina is up in New Hampshire. Well, it's because Tim Scott has announced he's got a presidential campaign exploratory committee. Tim Scott is a living, breathing reminder of that maxim that was taught to me by members of the Horn Family Community Congregation who happen to be black and happen to be alert and aware. All skin folk ain't kin folk. And so up in New Hampshire, news muck stuck a microphone and a camera in his face and asked Tim Scott about a federal ban on abortions. And if you can parse what he's saying here, you apparently have the secret decoder ring from Ovaltine, and you probably got a Red Ryder BB gun with a compass in the stock. Because this is some loopy shit. I have in no wise manipulated this audio in any way, shape, form, or fashion.
Yes, sir. Would you support a federal ban on abortions?
I would simply say that the fact of the matter is when you look at the issue of abortion, one of the challenges that we have...
Okay, one thing. When a U.S. senator, when an American politician, answers a straightforward question by saying, I would simply say, that means that what's following is neither going to be simple or much in the way of saying. He would have been better to just yell, argle, bargle, warble, whoosh, narf.
Yes, sir. Would you support a federal ban on abortions?
I would simply say that the fact of the matter is when you look at the issue of abortion, one of the challenges that we have, we continue to go to the most restrictive conversations without broadening the scope and taking a look at the fact that I'm 100% pro-life. I never walk away from that. But the truth of the matter is that when you look at the issues on abortion, I start with the very important conversation I had in a banking hearing when I was sitting in my office and listening to Janet Yellen, the Secretary of the Treasury, talk about increasing the labor force participation rate for African-American women who are in poverty by having abortions. I think we're just having the wrong conversation.
Can I get a little help here? Not trying to do this for effect, but the fuck did he just say? I mean, I heard him talking real fast, and any time a Republican starts talking fast, you know there's probably some lying and misdirection and obfuscating going on. But jumping Jehoshaphat, that wasn't word salad, that was word slaw. He started thinking about abortion in a banking hearing. Somewhere there is probably audio, maybe video, of whatever it was that Janet Yellen was saying. But the fact of the matter is, women, black, white, matters not, women, not discounting. But women who don't have access to reproductive care aren't very likely to have substantial, meaningful careers in the financial industry. I mean, it actually made sense to me the way Tim described it. It sounds like insanity. But that was what led him to think we're talking about abortion the wrong way in this country. In fact, he sounds a little bit like Tony Gonzalez from yesterday's program, blathering on about women care more about more things than just abortion. I mean, we got a crisis on the southern border. These fuckers want to talk about anything but abortion. They did their dirty business. They got their way. They know that people hate them for what they did. And they kind of want to run away from it. It's a lot like the Tennessee legislature now. In a mad rush to adjourn sine die before the Powder Magazine in Yosemite Sam's pirate ship that happens to be the Tennessee House of Representatives can blow up anymore in their faces.
You little ladies need to stop talking about your hoo-hoos all the time. And what's in them or ain't in them.
America'd be better off if you'd back home in the kitchen making some decent, hard-working man a sandwich. All barefoot and pregnant. That is the purpose of a woman. And it's not just Republican men. The self-hating Republican women are sui generis in their own right. Here we have Lauren Bobblehead Boebert going off on Twitter. I'm sorry, this loops back. Remember, Bud Light Butthurt originated from Dylan Mulvaney, a trans girl, pretty trans girl, who has documented every day of her transition from about a year ago. And she was celebrating her 1 year of womanhood. I kind of got issues with that. Because I've known who I was since I was a child. Doesn't say she has to have known that. But I don't use phrases like becoming a woman. Or turning into. My essential nature has been feminine. From jump. That's what the problem was all about. That's where the dysphoria came from. But nonetheless, she has talked about celebrating 365 days of her womanhood. Well, people like Clanny Granny, Lauren Bobblehead Boebert, that woman who liked the GED so much, she took it three times and failed it just so she could take it a fourth. Well, I mean, somebody else probably took it for her on the fourth time. She tweeted, "Today I celebrate 13,262 days of being a woman. I've been pregnant five times, miscarried in 2012. I'll bet you did miscarry. We know how I feel about that term. But I will bet you, honey, miscarried. And gave birth to four incredible boys that came out of my womb." Yeah, I'm sure those four incredible boys love being reminded of that. Because then they get to think about mommy fucking. And, well, adolescent boys just love to think about that. Right, Dr. Freud?
Oh, yes, I have studied this extensively. Quite often, boys like this will wish that they could simply have sex with their mother and kill the father. It is what I call the Oedipus complex. Thanks, Doc.
"Any day now, one of those four boys will make me a grandmother. Womanhood is so much more than just dressing up."
And so here she is, reducing every woman who's ever been unable to conceive and carry a child to term, reducing every woman who has ever required interventional gynecological care that rendered her sterile, to something other than a woman. Because just as Republican men think the only purpose that a woman serves is to spit babies out of her vagina, the self-hating women who empower them hate themselves even more. So now there's a little wave of right-wing asshole women.
"Today I celebrate 15,330 days of being a woman."
Okay, here, let's play that goddamn game, okay? Stand by. Gonna have to do some ciphering here. Let's see. 60 times 365 equals... let's say 31, 39, 59, 60, 90... 103.
There.
There.
Today, I celebrate 22,003 days. Maybe I ciphered that wrong. We got 103 days. No. Today I celebrate 21,972 days of being a woman. Because that is who I have been since before the day I was born. Whenever structures in my brain decided to be at odds with my genetics. Oh, and by the way, Clanny Granny and whoever this patriot savvy creature is, they're also erasing all the women who are born intersex. And they are a substantial number. The women born with different chromosomal structures. But to see, because these ignorant pissants don't understand that everyone is not born either XX or XY. And neither one of these morons has ever seen a single chromosome. And then following it all up, Clanny Granny said, "We are created to produce life." I think women exist for as something else besides life support systems for reproductive structures. I think women are on this planet to lead rich, full lives outside of sex or sexuality. I think women have great minds and have made great changes, great strides in the culture that men were unable to do with their big guy brains. Hidden Figures? Anybody? Marie Curie? Anybody? Helen Keller? Anybody? And frankly, the people who need to call her down, and these horrible self-loathing internalized misogyny shock troops for for right-wing men, are cis women. And I have a feeling that these fools are in a substantial minority. God knows they're not feminists. They're just walking, self-actualizing misogyny machines. Meanwhile, Clanny Granny really does see women as nothing but baby machines. Here's a tweet from April 1st, and it wasn't an April Fool's joke. "We require people to be 21 to purchase alcohol beverages and 21 to purchase tobacco products. Why is it so unreasonable to require people to reach a certain level of maturity before making life-altering decisions about their sexuality and identity?" Life-altering. You know, every trans man and every trans woman, every non-binary person isn't on hormones. Some people don't want them. Some people are medically prevented from taking them. Even though they would provide a certain level of benefit, a lot of postmenopausal women are prevented from their physicians from taking hormonal supplementation, out of fear for things like breast cancer. So
So it's a life-altering decision to say, for a woman to say, I'm a lesbian. See? Haven't changed. Other people pointed out Clanny Granny's hypocrisy, saying, and guess what, Lauren? You got that medical care you needed when you miscarried. You did not need to be hemorrhaging or dying of sepsis before you got it. You claim to be a woman. Act like it. Stand up for other women instead of taking their rights to their bodily rights. And there's, and of course, I'm absolutely fucking certain Clanny Granny has never read this. Let me see here. Sorry about the dead air. There's Simone de Beauvoir writing in the mid-20th century, answering the question, what is a woman? She was brilliant, by the way. She said the very nature of womanhood has always been defined by men. She says that biological condition of women does not constitute a handicap. That how women construe the condition which renders it positive or negative. She said, in essence, one is not born a woman, one becomes a woman. She was right. Maybe there need to be t-shirts with that quote from Simone de Beauvoir.
Simone de Beauvoir? Simone de Beauvoir? What? Was she a tranny?
I mean, you can hear it, can't you? Well, I burped for 3 minutes, and it was three of the best minutes of the program so far. I hope it makes it to the recording. You'll have to check it out. That's when I made the big, super, double-secret probation announcement. I'm kidding. But we did. We had an internet burp, and I'm sorry about that. But if we did miss it, Simone de Beauvoir, one is not born a woman, one becomes a woman. And don't anybody tell Clanny Granny. Actually, everybody tell Clanny Granny. Silly sod. Jeremy in Vermont, meanwhile, says, I've spent 15,330 days being another human on the planet. Back to Tim Scott, that in San Francisco, says, I'm not sure if my dizziness is from my ear surgery or the whiplash suffered from the head shaking after listening to Mr. Scott's comments. Yeah, Mr. Scott ain't beaming nobody up from this planet. Trying to hold a bunch of people down on this planet. Hope you're feeling better, man. Been thinking about you. So we are well over the halfway point of the program. We had $50 to raise out of a $1,385 fundraising goal. There's a $50 challenge on the table, courtesy of our buddy Don in British Columbia. We're still goose-egging it. Well, no, we're not. Hey, Mark, Uncle Smokey, thank you. So there's $45 to go on that. I know, sometimes it's difficult, Ralph. Ralph says, what the frell is he talking about? Frell is a Farscape swear word. I understand. You can always go Slim Pickens. What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here? Did I say Slim Pickens? I hope I didn't say Slim Whitman. Because then I'd have to yodel or something. But really, when we're up around these four-digit fundraising
numbers, it gets kind of scary because there are scary things that happen when we get to these places. So thanks to anybody who jumps in to help knock down that that challenge and, again, take it even further. Maybe finish up last week's fundraising because that everything above $1,200 is from last Friday. Now, Lee in New York says, Granny Boebert, do you think she thinks, you mean other states would have let me marry at 12? What did I have to wait so long for? You know, Lee, y'all do get to the heart of things, don't you? I could have had 19 kids by now. See, she's been married since she was 17. She's 36, so that's 20 years. How come she's only got 4 kids and 1 miscarriage? Reckon she's using the slut medicine? Then again, you know the allegations about her having been an escort. Maybe she gave some of her children the little saline baptism. Anybody as hateful as her is bound to have some 200-proof hypocrisy coursing through her veins. Let's run over to the stress line and see who we got. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hello, Robin.
Tracy?
Can you hear me?
I do.
Oh, what a week. First of all, how are you?
I'm okay. It's a pretty day. Feel good. I like it when it's like that.
It's gray and ugly and overcast here. It's grizzly.
Victory is mine.
Yeah, but that's just rude. Unnecessarily so. Rude. So, you know, let's see. My week started off, you know, okay. Ken and I came home Monday from Vegas to, you know, to pick up my car, because my car, you know, I have work. The car was in the shop. But they hadn't started on it. And then the guy said, I'm finding a new motor. So, good news. On Tuesday, I went. My car was ready, so I was able to go back to work. So that was Tuesday. Yesterday, Jan had to go to the office for a meeting with her boss. And she knew that she texted me when she got there. She's like, I think I'm going to be fired. I'm like, what are you talking about? She's like, because the HR guy is there. Never a good thing when you go to a meeting at your company and the HR person is in the meeting as well.
Yeah, no,
well,
no,
long story.
Yeah.
Long story short, so apparently on my route, she neglected to change my mile. So it was basically overpaid by, I guess, I don't know, like 4 miles. Something, you know, human error, right? Typically when that happens, they just discuss the money from the driver. The driver is me. But they're accusing her, after being an employee there for 24 years, of embezzlement.
The fuck?
So she's been suspended. So she's been suspended indefinitely. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we're looking for an attorney.
Yeah, it's time to lawyer up.
Yeah.
Because
you're going to fire a 69-year-old lesbian, but indefinitely. So, I'm looking to get not only just a labor lawyer, but a member of the LGBTQI community lawyer.
I can't say for certain because I'm still baby trans, but I'd be talking to Lambda Legal or GLAAD or somebody like that, Human Rights Campaign.
Yeah.
Because, right. You know, this may be an onion. There may be age discrimination involved, because that was the first thing I thought. They're looking for some way to get rid of an older employee and hire somebody at minimum wage.
Right. But she's afraid that they'll come after me. I said, if they come after me, they'll make it even worse. Because now you're coming after the black woman.
And you don't play.
That part. No. Because I still owe their asses from not so much them, but the health group. For when, a few years ago, remember when they fired me off the baby's route because I called out white privilege and they called me a racist? And nobody came to my defense. And the only reason why I didn't sue or go after them is because I didn't want to cause any problems for Jan, because, you know, in her company. No. No. So that was my day yesterday, and today I've been kind of, today, I've just kind of been in a fog. I did go sleep because I'm having a crazy, you know, flare up of my fibromyalgia because, you know, stress. And I have this crazy pain. I don't know what it is. Well, my doctor said it's, bursitis and tendonitis. You know, all the stuff that happens once you get tripped. And so, I love him so very much because he gave me a shot of cortisone. Now, you know, I'm not supposed, you know, you can't be messing with that for a long term. But Robin, I was in so much pain that it hurt. It was just like this touching my shoulder, shoulder blade. It sucked the air out of me. It hurt so bad. So the good news is I got a shot of cortisone. He put me on some Balta because I forgot that I had been on that before, and it did help with the pain, and it did help with my mood as well. So I should be getting that delivered today.
Yeah, well, it was you who told me that Cymbalta was a better and more reasonable alternative to gabapentin.
Yes, yeah, exactly. And I forgot about it because I remember years ago when I was taking it before, and I remember the tagline for Cymbalta back in the day was Cymbalta because depression hurts. And that's why how a lot of people get misdiagnosed with fibromyalgia and stuff, because, you know, that they don't even realize that people are depressed or have fibromyalgia, and Cymbalta is one of those, you know, one of those drugs that people, you know, they made it for one thing, but they found out it could help for other issues as well. So that part. So yeah, that's my life. But and then I listen to your show and I hear, you know, Mr. Tim Scott, Uncle Tim.
See, you can say that. I can't.
You cannot, but I can. And this false narrative about people, about, you know, them using abortions as a way for genociding the black community. And I'm like, no, with this bull, and, you know, did he really say that it was Jen Yellen that would increase the labor market if black women weren't allowed to have sex?
No, he said that. No, what he said, Janet Yellen said. Oh God, this gets so complicated. He said, Janet Yellen said that we have to have access to reproductive health care so that we can increase the participation of black women in the finance industry. He's not wrong. I mean, Janet Yellen's not wrong. I guess she specifically addressed that to black women, but the fact of the matter is, not having access to reproductive health care affects every woman in the labor market.
Every woman. It affects your ability to go to school. It affects your ability to have a job. Because, you know, last time I checked, you know, since they're, banning abortion from one state to the next, but they're not trying to help anybody's child care. Oh, hell. Forget child care. They're not even trying to help people have, you know, maternal health care. Prenatal health care. Okay?
Well, do you remember Sister Velveeta King?
Oh, Jesus. How could I not?
Well, you know, her shtick is to run around the country hollering, they're trying to abort all the black babies.
Right, right, right.
And that was the subtext I heard underneath what Tim Scott was saying, because that was the little dog whistle out there to the anti-abortion African-American community.
Well, then also, because don't forget, now, we both know, because, you know, we're educated, and I don't know, we picked up a book or two, or, you know, read an article or two, you know, it is no secret that the woman who founded Planned Parenthood was,
Margaret Sanger was a stone-cold eugenicist. Yes.
Thank you. We all know this. But that is not how. That is not what Planned Parenthood is today. How long she been dead?
Long damn time.
Okay. Okay. She ain't doing no more influencing. I'm pretty. She ain't on the YouTube and the interwebs with her own YouTube channel. Influencing and stuff like that. She did.
Stop that.
We won't be here. What? What?
Don't you be Jesse Leon on my program. She did.
But she did. She did. She really did. Okay? And so, it's a false narrative by pulling out that old trope. Like they all, well, you know, the founder of, you know, Planned Parenthood was a eugenicist and a racist and all this. And the whole purpose of her to have Planned Parenthood was to keep the, you know, certain folks from having babies. This, yes, I cannot argue that fact. How but ever. It's this thing called, I don't know, evolution. And what her purpose of Planned Parenthood was for, it's all over the case. It doesn't just stop with women. It was doing health care, you know, reproductive health care for men as well. And trans people. And non-binary people.
Your girl is sitting here alive today because of Planned Parenthood.
Thank you.
I mean, I cannot tell you how long I had made my decision about hormones. You know, I didn't start till the middle of September 2020. I'd made my decision in June. It took me all of the summer of 2020 to find someone in this state who could provide them and would provide them to me.
See, this is, you know, a few weeks ago, I picked up a group of people there from Florida. And fortunately for me, I've gotten the same folks from Florida. Because, see, while I don't shy away from controversy or conversation that's going to hurt folks' feelings, I don't, what's the word?
Court it?
I say what? I don't start the conversation.
Yeah, you don't court
you
it.
You know, and no, I do not. Especially in my cab, because I'm not about to get myself too worked up. But I can always tell the people from Florida who hate the government of Florida more than we do because they have to live there. Right? And so when the conversation starts, you know, so, especially like today is my airport day. And so I am wearing my rainbow shirt that says Abide No Hatred, my tie-dye croc, and my hoodie, my red hoodie, with the Black Panther for self-defense, California flag on the back. And with this say on the front of this hoodie, it shows, you know, Black Panther Party for Self-Defense Establishment, Oakland, 1966. So I'm dressed. When you see me get out my car, you have no doubt about my politics, okay? So, typically when they see how I, because basically every day that I work or that I ride, I have on a t-shirt that says something. Like, it'll, like, one day, like the other day, I had on a t-shirt that said the amazing, read banned book, Abide No Hatred. What did I have on the other day? Okay. These are the kind of shirts that I wear. Okay, because that's just my way of, you know, of just bucking the system. I mean, yes, I live in California, but...
And being visible. Being visible.
Being very visible. Being, you know, saying that I don't care. If you have a problem with my t-shirts, then you don't need to get in my cab. So, when usually the conversation starts, they're like, so what do you think about Florida? And my response is, what do you think about Florida? Or, you know, Rick DeSantis. And then when they go on about it, I said, when it's very evident that they think he's a very dangerous and scary person who is, you know, definitely going to run for president, they're like, yeah, it's problematic. So we were talking, I was talking to this family. They were there. It was a couple, two couples. They were, I think they were actually Haitian. And I was talking about the Haitian Revolution and blah, 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 blah. But I said, you know, remember a few months back when I was talking about never going to Florida, and then you pointed out about even connecting flights. And I right. told Jan this too. I said, I'm like, you're right, because once I land, my money that I pay for that ticket is going to be used to fund the airport. Or if I get out, even if I have a drink or anything, I am contributing to the economy of Florida. And I may only be the one person, maybe, but me, I said, if this is how you feel about, you know, aside from the fact of, you know, my queerness, but my blackness, because, you know, let's not forget, you know, my history in Florida is not relevant. So why in the world should I even spend a dime? So I'm going to keep my queer black ass out of Florida. It's not, I won't do it. I just, you know, and it's so funny. I think I talked to you about this. It's been every day on the days that I actually watch broadcast television when I see commercials. But you would not believe how many commercials that I have been seeing lately here in L.A. about traveling to where? Texas and Florida. Your Texas vacation here, and how to do it is when they start off the commercial, you don't know that, like, this is, you know, maybe the first time you actually saw the commercial or paid attention to the commercial, the way they start the commercial, you don't know exactly what state they're talking about, because you know, especially like the Florida Keys commercial, because it looks, because they talk about, you know, scuba diving and exploring, you know, treasure, you know, shipwrecks and stuff like that. So it looks like a Caribbean island, right? And then the next thing you know, they're talking about the Florida Keys. And I'm like, ain't nothing that pretty, sis. It's gorgeous. I've actually always wanted to visit the Florida Keys. But no, no, no. I mean, like you just said, so they started off with kindergarten through, what, fourth grade or whatever, and now it's going all the way to senior high. Mm-hmm. So, like you said, the last day of your senior year in high school that you as a person, however you identify sexually or genderized or what have you, and you are not to be acknowledged. I mean, why would I go there? Why would I go there? Because, like you said, who put up the travel advisory that people like us?
Equality Florida. Equality Florida.
Okay. They're saying, yo, sis, do not, you know, do not pass go, do not collect $200, and do not go to Florida. Do not go to Texas. Do not go to Tennessee. Do not go, well, see, we don't have to worry about me even thinking about going to Idaho, Iowa. You know.
Yeah, I don't see you going Snow Valley going shushing in Snow Valley, Idaho, Sun Valley, Idaho, whatever the hell it is.
No, I'm good. I mean, I am fully aware of where they do it. And I want me, you know, but why would I spend money in states that I know? And not to say that there aren't black people in these states, but it's not like I want to go, hey, I mean, there has never been a reason for me to even care about those states at all. Because don't they? And, I mean, I hate making, you know, broad generalizations about states, but when I think of states like Idaho and Iowa, the first thing I think of is militias and compounds and people, you know, and the doomsday people, and, you know, I'm good.
Well, I am proud to tell you, because I followed their journey. The population of California is greater by at least two people. A dear friend of mine, she traveled from L.A. to L.A., from lower Alabama to Los Angeles. They went on the train.
And where in L.A.?
I don't know, but she's got a mountain in front of her through her front glass window.
That could be.
I know.
If they still tell them that they still, you know, you got my information. If they feel comfortable with contacting me and they want to get the lay of the land or what, depending on where they are in LA. Because the people who aren't from LA think everything is LA, and they could be in, you know. They could be in San Gabriel, because if you
pretty sure they're not in Pasadena. But no, all kidding aside, we're talking about two people who fled, Tracy, fled the state of Alabama, fled for the safety of their very lives.
And fortunately for them, they had the means to leave.
Yeah.
Everybody doesn't have those means.
Right. That's in fact, I was tweeting about that maybe yesterday. It's really great to see more states coming online as refugee states, refuge states, Washington is one of the latest ones. I was surprised, and Theo and I had a brief exchange about it. Oregon's not on that list yet. Oregon is not a refuge state.
No.
But Washington and California are. New Jersey, New York, Connecticut. See, Darlene, I mentioned Connecticut are refuge states.
Hey, Darlene.
But the thing that I keep coming back to is, it's great if you've got mechanisms where you say that the state will not honor subpoenas, will not honor arrest warrants, will not, you know, things that these maggot states want to use, tools that they want to use to torment people. But when you flee and you become a refugee, you've got to have something. And they were able to set things up so that they could land on their feet. But how many people are like that?
Not many.
You need
very few.
You need a formal support structure, some kind of basic income, help finding work, health insurance, for fuck's sake, housing. Because again, I'm convinced that a refrigerator box over a sewer grate in LA is $1 million, and the same refrigerator over the same sewer grate in San Francisco is $2 million. And I'll be honest, I'm still not sure that I don't know if it's not safe here now. It's just not as awful as it could have been. And for instance, for people in Tennessee, that horrible law is temporarily enjoined, but the emphasis is on the word temporary.
Temporary.
And it may not stay that way, and it may not survive Supreme Court scrutiny when the time comes.
That part.
And we really need it. And I hope I'm not appropriating. You know, we need a no-kidding Underground Railroad for
well,
these.
Well, it's not appropriation. No, it's not. But here's the problem, and as you pointed out, the people who live here already can't even. I was just listening
right.
to.
And that's gonna and that's gonna and that's gonna breed resentment.
Right. It's not. It's not even that. It's that. It's like they were saying that on average, people who live in California can't even afford.
San Francisco,
and all those places. And, until we have the space, there's so many empty, you know, vacant lots that are owned here in the city of, by the city of Los Angeles that could, you can build affordable houses. But then you still have, you have these NIMBY assholes, not in my backyard, because automatically when you hear that when they equate, affordable housing with the project. And so when you have a group of people that won't let you build affordable housing, then you still have a problem. When you live in a state that we don't have, like you say, a guaranteed income, that's the problem. When, inflation has been outpacing wage, and wages have been stagnant for 30 some odd years. Now, there have been some great, LA Unified, service workers. They got their 30% raises. Because what's happening is, even when people moved out to the boondocks, because in certain, Lancaster, Palmdale, Riverside, San Bernardino County, but they were still working out here. So now they're trying, so it's like right now UCLA is about to go back on strike. Forget who, but they, they're tired of people having to live way the hell out just to be able to afford a place to live. But then again, it's so far out that it's not going to help.
Right.
So yeah. What do you do?
And I don't know. I don't know the answer, because the sad thing is that no, it's not sad. But all these refuge states are states where people can barely afford to live in their own right. You know, I was really
right.
I was really impressed with New Jersey, apart from not being able to make a left turn. It blew my mind that I could pull into a gas station and a guy would pump my gas for me. That was sweet.
Yeah, it's like that in Oregon.
Yeah.
That they can't pump their own gas.
You can't. And New Jersey has gotten rid of. They've gotten rid of all the plastic grocery bags. I was watching people walking. Grocery bags. I was watching people walking out of Wally World, and I was like, those people don't. All those people shit in their buggies is just in their buggies. Where's their bags? Because I'm a hillbilly. And New Jersey now mandates that children actually be taught about climate change in public schools. It was impressive.
This is Jersey?
Yeah. And it was pretty.
What? You know, I forget which city.
But again, I couldn't afford a refrigerator box over a sewer grate.
You can't.
And I don't know. I don't know many people who can.
One of my youngsters, friends, schooled me on something about minimum wage. I love hanging out with young folks. She's like, you do know that when they came up with the phrase minimum wage, it was the minimum amount that people can live. And be able to survive, but not survive, but be comfortable, you know, whatever. But not the way it's interpreted now as the least amount you can be paid that they can get away with.
Yeah.
You know, which means slave wages. I mean, because it's still servers, you know, in these states only make, you know, well, you're a tipped employee, so you don't need to make, you know, minimum wage. They don't even make minimum wage, sis. They make like $2.20. I don't know if they've changed, but when my nieces moved to Georgia, one of them worked at some restaurant. She was making like $2.50 an hour.
And had to make it up in tips.
Right. And tips are not guaranteed.
No, tips are dependent on people not being assholes.
Right. You know, and you get, especially when you get that party at 6, and then everybody, and then they want this, they want that, and they're running you ragged, and then you get a dollar tip.
Or they split the bill.
Right.
Right, yeah. Well, I wanted to, since you did call in, I wanted to torture you a little bit, but let me ask first, because we went through everything. Is Jan okay, or as okay as Jan can be?
Jan is what Jan is saying. She's like, I just don't want you, and by you being me, to fall apart. She's like, we will be fine. You know? But I just, because I thought, again, she's like, her only concern at this point is them coming after me and trying to take, saying that I knew what was going on and that I was involved in some way in pulling my permit. You know?
Yeah.
Because we'll be fine. But I, if anybody listening has any idea about like you said, you know, I'm going to call some friends and find out, because, again, I don't need just a lawyer. I need somebody that is well-versed, because they're going to say, well, no, that's not it, because her boss or the president of the company, he's a man. So that made no difference. He's a cisgender white man who started the company. So what? If he's a gay man. His father started the goddamn company. So was he going to get fired for being gay? No. And then again, like I said, Jazz just turned 69 last month. She's only going to work a couple more years anyway until I get established. And then she was going to retire. But she, you know.
But see, hold on, okay? That's a moment for us. That's also a way of cheating her out of her retirement.
Yep.
And I think a good offense is the best defense here. But that's just my laywoman's opinion.
Like, I don't want to start no trouble because of you. I will find something to do.
Yeah, she's not starting it. They brought it to her, so, you know, kick back.
But if they don't start,
Yeah, don't start nothing. Don't want nothing. Don't start nothing. Don't start nothing. Won't be nothing.
Right.
But I do have you here, and I, you know, I've always got a super double plus good story, and so here we are.
Because
this one's about your girl Candy-O.
No. Do you save these stories for just for when I call?
Yes. I've got stories. I've got stories under a file called Save for Tracy. Because you do this shit to me. Fair is fair.
True. Fair is fair.
And you. Oh, by the way, you know, and Darlene mentioned this to me earlier. You know that even beyond Fappy Thomas going on vacation with his buddy Harlan Crow,
the $500,000 vacation.
Turns out that Fappy Swans. Harlan had a painting done of him, Harlan.
Oh.
Him, Harlan.
And the family.
And Fappy and Leonard Leo all sitting on a couch smoking cigars together.
At the whatever club?
Maybe Bohemian Grove or some shit?
Exactly.
And so there's that. And Harlan Crow likes to collect him some Nazi memorabilia. Harlan Crow actually went out and bid on and bought, paid cash money for, so he could hang it in his house, a painting by that one and only great painter, Adolf Hitler.
No.
This is the guy who's bosom buddies with Fappy Thomas and Ginsurrectionist, his white wife. I wish I was kidding. He's also got some pictures hanging in his living room that was done painted by George W. Bush, and he's got him a Norman Rockwell. Not lying. But here's the best part.
Oh, but wait, there's more.
Yeah, this Ginsu commercial. 2014, one of Harlan's companies went and done bought two vacant lots in Savannah and a single family dwelling with two bedrooms and one house.
No.
He bought it.
Except for Fappy.
He bought it from Fappy and the estate of Fappy's dead brother and Fappy's mama for $133,000. And then he renovated the hell out of it, and he owned the house that Fappy's mama lived in.
So he bought and paid for it.
And Fappy never included that on his federally mandated disclosure form that includes a statement that says, failure to be truthful on this form is a crime and can be punished as a crime.
What are you calling? OMG.
Might even be a felony.
Oh, really?
How about that? But that wasn't what I wanted to tell you about. Because I said
you,
this.
You gonna tell me about?
Yeah, this story's about your girl Candy-O.
I see my girl.
She's black.
You know she ain't. She's not black. She's candid.
She's what?
Well, you know, people like that. I don't consider myself black. So there was the whole article.
What's important here is that Candy-O is really, really, really straight. Oh, she is so heterosexual. I mean, that's how come she can go to Paris Fashion Week and swan around with her buddy Kanye. You know, she's married to the fellow that wanted to sell that skeevy-ass social media site to Kanye before Kanye didn't have pot to piss in anymore after he started talking about what a nice guy the fellow was that Harlan Crow has paintings by. So, actually, in all seriousness, Tracy, this is proof. Okay, so remember, Candy-O works for little Neo Maxi Zoom Dweeby Benny, my dry wife Shapiro, who got all worked up about right. Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion and WAP. Remember?
Yeah, and
why is it wet? I have a wife, and hers isn't wet.
Well, that's your fault, Ben.
tell me you can't make a woman happy without telling me you can't make a woman happy. So she's so Candy-O, she's so straight. And so there's a popular girl, social media, young woman, social media. I'd never heard of her before, but that's okay because I live under a rock in West Virginia. She's a dancer and entertainer named JoJo Siwa.
Yeah, she was on. I never heard of her because, like you, even though I live in LA and I, you know, social media capital of the world, I have zero fucks to give for people on social media. But I heard of her only because I guess she was the first person on Dancing with the Stars. They had the same gender partner, so her partner was a female.
JoJo Siwa had a TV show, has a TV show. She's done projects with Nickelodeon.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And JoJo Siwa came out.
Right.
Lesbian.
Mm-hmm. I'm listening. I'm in the Costco parking lot. And people are just driving on the wrong side of the road and stuff like that. Okay. And I'm just
so among other things, JoJo Siwa said, "I have a lot of really hard memories here, but I've grown a lot at Disney. I fell in love for the first time at Disney World. I realized I was gay at Disney World. I went through stages of heartbreak at Disney World. There's been a lot in my personal life that Disney World has really contributed to." So she said, "She said she's gay." But Candy-O has special powers and knows who's gay and who ain't. And she, Candy-O, is qualified to declare who's really gay. But the point here is that the vast majority of the time at the Daily Caller, which is who operates
who, you know, pays Candio for running her mouth, they spend an inordinate amount of time hating on trans people. But the time that they're not hating on trans people, they're hating on gay folk. Because all they are is it's just a right-wing sewer. So a human being says, "Hi, I'm a lesbian." Candio, who is apparently nothing but a walking conglomeration of jealousy molecules and envy molecules. I'm surprised she doesn't have the third envy eye right in the middle of her forehead. She wants to be loved like JoJo Siwa is loved. Nobody loves Candio.
No, Candio don't even love herself.
I don't see how you can and talk the way she does. But that's when she did that. When JoJo Siwa said, "Yeah, I'm a lesbian. I love a girl." That was just too much for Candio. Here we go.
As a lesbian, by the way, I want to state that very clearly.
Wait, hold on. You know what's weird? She even sounds like Ben Shapiro. Maybe there's some puppet master back there who's doing...
I don't know what Ben Shapiro sounds like, because, again, I have
okay,
to find out.
Ben Shapiro sounds like a fast-talking castrato imitating Mickey Mouse.
Oh!
You know, he talks like this. He talks like this all the time. "Hey, Minnie, what are you doing?" And he thinks because he's talking fast that he's making points, and nobody can keep up with him because he's got such a big brain. That's what Benny My Dry Wife Shapiro sounds like. But anyway, back to Candio. Who knows who's really gay?
I don't believe JoJo Siwa is a lesbian, by the way. I want to state that very clearly. I do believe that she's desperate for attention, and you're not going to believe what she's doing now. But first, let's back it up to just her announcement back in October of 2022 about how she realized she was a lesbian. Take a listen.
I mean, imagine being so desperate for attention that on April the 4th, 2023, you're doing a story from October 2022. Has anything happened between October 2022 and, say, April 4th? Anything?
Nope.
No, not a damn thing? No? Okay.
"One thing about me is that when I was 12, Demi Lovato came out with the song Cool for the Summer. I really, really liked it and listened to it all the time. I did not know what it meant back then, but now that I'm much older and I understand, I know what I mean. Then a few years later, Jenna Dewont went on Lip Sync Battle. She did a really great Magic Mike number. I pretty much watch it every day."
Yeah, meanwhile, on the video, Candio is bobbing her head back and forth like a little bulldog in the back of a 57 Pontiac. You know, bobblehead. She's getting down to the beat.
"Little me, she didn't know she was gay until a couple years later, a man was my first..."
Yeah, she's still dancing. She's actually, this is a split-screen video. It's so pathetic. She's sitting there, you know, doing that neck thing, and that head bob,
and
she's showing the clip, but she's so desperate for attention, she's trying to keep people from actually watching JoJo Siwa, which is fucking hilarious. Oh, you poor little attention starved animal.
"State, oh, and he wanted to have sex with me, and I did not want to, never wanted to, grossed out by the thought of it, immediately knew. Men are not my thing. Women are my gig. Gotta go."
Okay, so let's just back that up. Three things that made her realize she was lesbian. First, she says that she listened to Demi Lovato's Cool for the Summer song, which she had no idea what it meant. And now she does know what it means. Then she said that she watched Jenna Dewan dancing over and over again to Magic Mike on So You Think You Can Dance. And then she found out later that Jenna Dewan was lesbian. And then last but not least, she went on a date with a guy, and the guy wanted to have sex with her, and she was grossed out. And then she realized, oh, that's it. Obviously, I'm a lesbian. 1 + 1 + 1 must equal I'm a lesbo, like, or something. And that's like.
Lesbo. Isn't that nice?
Lesbo?
Lesbo. Isn't that nice? From the same people that say tranny all the time. I wonder if they use the F word, too.
Yes, the idea here is that she suddenly realized she was a lesbian because she had a bad date, and she liked the way Jenna Dewan danced to Magic Mike. It makes absolutely no sense.
It makes a lot of sense. She's attracted to women. Isn't that the read you get?
Well, it's like when I told my mother about me and Jan. She's like, what did she say? That a white woman turned you out?
Oh, dear God.
Did I ever tell you that?
Yeah, no, you did. You did. It reminds me of when I got told that I wasn't really trans, that it was drugs or alcohol or mental illness or something.
Right, and it's like, and then Cheryl's response was, well, how would you feel if Alex told you that he was gay? And I'm like, I wouldn't be responding like you are.
But I just love the fact that people like Candy O and Benny Drywife Shapiro and Matt Dysphoria Beard Walsh. I love the fact that they will not accept people's expertise on their own lives.
On their own lives.
I mean, she may very well have not really thought about being a lesbian until it came to the point of a guy, and I don't think that she went out on a date like Candy O said. I think, didn't she say this guy wanted to have sex with me?
I think so.
And it was like ooh, gross. I mean,
it's the same thing that happened to me. I mean, it's like, it wasn't like everybody said, so when you were in the closet, I'm like, okay, one more time for people in the cheap seat. I was not closeted. I just had no idea.
Right.
Because it wasn't something that I even thought of. It was the way I was raised or what it was. It was something that wasn't even in my consciousness.
Now, see, where Candy O is concerned, I'm getting a real vibe off of her of, yeah, I got
wait
it.
A minute. Does that mean I could be a lesbian?
Uh-huh. Kinda.
That I might like pussy instead of dick?
Maybe.
Or do I even really like dick?
But she... Because there are so many concepts out there. There's this... And I watched a video, and then And I actually went and learned about something called comphet. Compulsory heterosexual... Comphet. Compulsory heterosexuality.
Right.
And there's a little quiz. And, you know... And the thing is, you know, decide that she was. No, she didn't decide. She just can't. There's a difference between, you know, like Lauren Boebert saying that people decide their sexuality, decisions about their sexuality. Those aren't decisions. Those are realizations. And there's a big damn difference between a decision and a realization. You realized. You did not decide.
I did not decide. Look, I got to live as a black woman in this country, and until Jan and I got together, but how old am I now? We've been together since 2012. So when we got together, I was 45 or whatever, 44, going on 45, I guess. The math is escaping me right now. But the bottom line is. Living as a black woman in this country, like, ooh, really? I want to add more to the mix and being queer as well. It's like when black women, you know, when black trans women, it's hard enough being a black person in this fucking country.
And now I want to just, you know, I just want to double down and decide to live as a gay person, a trans person, or whatever the hell I decide.
I got so bored with all my white male privilege one day. I just throw this shit away. I'd rather be despised.
Right. I want to be despised. I want to have to fear for my life every fucking day and live in your authentic life because, you know, I was bored or I have a mental illness or, you know, I just wanted a 10-10. Fuck you and the fucking horse you rode in on, mother. You goddamn self-loathing house Negro youth.
Well, as a song that I love by the Drive-By Truckers says, I'm paraphrasing, Candy O's got ten fingers and ten toes, and she needs all 20 just to keep the closet door closed. You know, the whole gonna be caught with a man in his mouth for right-wing men. There's a corollary for right-wing women.
Mm-hmm.
Don't quite know how Bart Kopp would have put that, but there he is. By the way, to backtrack just a minute on Clarence's mama, Darlene points out, I think if you read a little closer, Clarence's mama is still living in that house, and Crow refused to answer when he was questioned by reporters if he was charging Mrs. T rent. Translation, she's living rent-free, and who knows what else she's getting free from her son's benefactor. Clarence's share in the house was listed on an earlier tax return as being worth only $15,000. Dividing the $133,000 purchase by Crow and the three owners, old Clarence walked away with $44,000 plus for a then-dilapidating house in a declining neighborhood. Dirty, dirty, dirty Clarence. Dirty Fappy. Okay, I got a request here to repeat the groups of lawyers that I mentioned. There's the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation, Lambda Legal, Human Rights Campaign. That's not necessarily lawyers. They're not necessarily lawyers. Lambda Legal is a legal group. HRC and GLAAD are more in the way of advocacy. Lee, meanwhile, says... ew, gross, says Lee in New York. That reaction does not mean that the woman is a lesbian. Some men are just, ew, gross. Oh, no, like incels. But in this case, I think it's different. And we're not even anywhere near done with the clip, and we got to enjoy all of it, because she is so upset with the cute little white girl. So upset.
With a guy, and the guy wanted to have sex with her, and she was grossed out. And then she realized, oh, that's it. Obviously, I'm a lesbian. 1 + 1 + 1 must equal I'm a lesbo, or something. And that's, I guess, the idea here is that she suddenly realized she was a lesbian because she had a bad date, and she liked the way Jenna Dewan danced to Magic Mike. It makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. And it's very clear to me that she did that video for attention. She got attention because it's a great way to find a community of victims. And, of course, there is no community that is louder, more roarous than the LGBTQIA never-ending alphabet soup community. Now they're behind her, and she does their bidding all the time.
Roarous? Did she say roarous?
Woo!
I don't think that's a word, roarous. I mean, this isn't a dialect thing. This isn't between ask and axe, okay? I know the history of that word.
Right.
Roarous is something that somebody who thinks they're smart says, who knows their audience is even dumber than they are, and doesn't know that she's looking for a word called raucous. R-A-U-C-O-U-S. Roarous, I would presume, is R-O-R-R-O-A-R-O-U-S, maybe, if it was a word. Maybe it's a word in Nambia? Wasn't that the country that Nitwit Nero invented?
Yeah.
The cross between Namibia and Zambia? Nambia?
Well, this is Thorn in the Side Thursday. You know, you buy your ticket, you take your chance. Let's do some more.
Right.
And this has become a brand for her. She's a lesbian, guys. And she goes out and she defends other lesbians and other gay people. And nobody's ever questioned whether or not this girl is literally just doing all this for attention. Now, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe she is a lesbian. Maybe it is true that if you see Jenna doing dancing, you might also become a lesbian. Or maybe it's also true that if you, too, go on a bad date, which all of us have gone on, you might be like, maybe I'm a lesbian. I've been on some bad dates. I might.
Aha!
Aha! Aha!
I'm sorry. This is just too funny. It's okay, Candio. You're valid. We see you.
It actually be a lesbian. Maybe all that's true. If you think that it might not be, then you're going to find it interesting that now she's being criticized, even from her own community, because she decided to fake a pregnancy for attention. That makes no sense. I can't explain it to you. There's no background story here. She just decided to pretend to be pregnant on the internet. She did
this. Meanwhile, all of this, just for because this is radio and everybody else doesn't have the benefit of the video that I'm looking at, she's reading all of this. She's reading it all and turning pages in a hard copy notebook. And there's a reason, I think there's a reason that her vocal patterns sound exactly like the guy who signs her paychecks, you know, Benny My Dry Wife Shapiro. I think he's writing her shit.
He is. Damn, they can't even afford a teleprompter?
They got a great setup. I mean, a nice video, good looking set. I presume it's a set. Maybe it's a Zoom background. I don't know. I don't see her shoulders fading in and out, kind of like, you know, Zoom does. So this goes. We got a little bit, just not too much more.
This on Snapchat. Here are a few of her posts. There's a post of her holding her belly, and she's at Target with some Pampers. There's another post of her holding her belly on Snapchat, and she has the caption written, "Team boy or team girl?" And she's smiling in bed. Looks to be about, I don't know, 3 months pregnant. Clearly, she was just puffing her stomach out. And then there is...
Clearly, because Candio is an OBGYN.
There's the final picture of her wearing a hoodie, once again holding her belly as if she is in early pregnancy. Now, nobody knows why she did this. She later on came out and clarified that she wasn't actually expecting by posting a TikTok of herself laughing in response to the speculation. Okay, why is that funny to put Pampers in a Target basket and pretend that you're buying them? Why is it funny to pretend that you're having a child?
Holy shit, I go to Walmart sometimes and I buy diapers. Am I pregnant?
Oh.
Or could it be that we've got a baby in the house? I don't know.
Might be buying diapers for a friend. So you're saying the only way I should be able to, only people that should be able to buy diapers are people who have babies?
I guess.
Okay.
Maybe she was she was going to a friend's baby shower and was, you know, kind of wondering, you know, maybe someday, and, you know, putting her hand on her tummy and.
Because, you know, she can have, we want people like her to procreate. Not so much for Candace Owens. And speaking of Candace's, apparently Candace Owens, this is the only Candace that has a problem with JoJo Siwa.
Oh, no.
Because I was looking for the video, and apparently Candace Cameron Bure has a problem with her, too.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah, she's... Oh, God, wait. There's a sorority of toxic candies?
Yeah.
Oh, you know, a tweet about those two together attacking JoJo Siwa would be great with a hashtag that said toxic candies.
Toxic candies. Or poison.
There's just a little bit more, and I want to squeeze all the stupid juice out of this clip. I'm sorry, I just do.
She has not yet addressed the backlash, but here's what I want to say about JoJo Siwa and those that follow her and are watching her. I know her brand is happy and sparkly, and she wears a lot of pieces in her hair. She wears scrunchies and bows. And
Wait, is this a black woman coming for a white girl for wearing stuff in her hair?
Wearing scrunchies.
I mean, I don't have the authenticity to say this, but I think the straightener's gone to Candio's brain.
Yeah. Well, she might not wear a straightener. Okay. Only in a Walmart parking lot. This black couple just got out of their car, out of their big old Chevy truck with track suits or whatever. Sweatpants. Oh my God. Okay.
I bet they're from. I'd look close to see if there's any flying WVs or anything on that truck, because it sounds like they ain't from around there. That's a very West Virginia thing, wearing you matching camos to the Wally World.
Girl, tread lightly.
I have camo leggings, okay? And they're cute.
I don't have a problem with camo. Camo is cool, but it's just, you know, and a lot, for whatever the reason, a lot of black people wear camo. But it's just kind of off-putting to see a decidedly middle-aged.
Tracy, camo is the state color of West Virginia.
But I'm in Los Angeles, it was blue. And they have California plates on their car. So
That don't mean they don't have hillbilly in their blood.
That's true.
All right, a little more Candio, because this is just too much fun.
Children like to watch her because she's ecstatic all the time. People that you see that put on an appearance of happiness all the time are usually people that are suffering the most internally, and there is no question to me that what we have...
Oh, now she's a psychiatrist. Well, fuck me running.
...observed from her over the last few years has been one giant cry for help. It's a giant cry for help, as just one example, when she would just ruthlessly attack Candace Cameron. I think Candace Cameron, who she rightfully said she used to idolize when she was young, is actually who she still idolizes. I think deep down, JoJo Siwa wants to be like Candace Cameron, but she...
Candace Cameron is a Taliban Christian, in case anybody's wondering.
Can't now, because she's resigned herself to a brand of LGBTQ awareness, and it's driving her crazy. And she did this for attention. I don't believe she's a lesbian no more than I believe Demi Lovato is a lesbian. I think it's interesting that she brought up Demi Lovato.
And neither of them are lesbians, because they're not lesbianing with Candio. Am I close? Am I close?
Yes.
In the first place, because she's another person that went on a long cry for help, right? These people are suffering on the inside. They're completely empty on this inside. What they really need is spiritual growth and development in God. And so what they instead try to fill it with is...
Yeah, because you just know Candio is all AME and shit, right?
Right. This did.
I don't think she... Tell me if I'm wrong. I don't think she's even got an invitation to the cookout.
No, her and Clarence and Colleen Noir.
Jesse Lee.
And Michael Steele.
I'm cutting him a little bit of slack. He found the foot of the cross.
Well... The other day, you know, last week when they, you know, expelled the two Justins, no Justins, no peace. I love that. And he was on MSNBC, because you know I don't really pay attention to MSNBC, because I just find it ironical, and yes, I just said ironical, that, you know, all these white people were, you know, outraged, you know, all these, you know, the multimillionaire television hosts, you know, outraged by the treatment of the two Justins, and all the hosts of the shows are white. So that it was a panel, and Michael Steele was on, and there was another brother on, and a couple other black folks, all men, of course. And so Michael Steele was talking, But there was this one brother looking at him with side eye. It wasn't, and it was that side eye that all black people know we can give without everybody else knowing. And because Michael Steele really isn't black, he couldn't get it. But when he was listening to Michael Steele, and he was, and I was thinking, we were probably thinking the same thing. It's like, this motherfucker, weren't you just, you know, the former head, you know, chair of the RNC, and weren't you House Negro number one? And now you're trying to, are you trying to get re-invited to the cookout? What's going on?
Well, hold on. You may have forgotten something. You may have forgotten something. Michael Steele, when he was head of the RNC, there was a humongous scandal because the Young Republicans, under, you know, his aegis, got caught spending RNC money for a great big old party at a strip club. That's why for a long time I referred to him as Michael Strip Club Steele. You know, family values, pole dances, family values, shower rooms, family values, lap dances, family values, sticking dollar bills in the little garter. Not too much about left to Candio, but we've had our fun. And there is a denouement to this entire thing.
Pronouns and bios.
See, you knew pronouns had to come in there somewhere. Which takes me back to the thing that Texas T has had me giggling over for over a day now, the graphic from the old Star Trek cartoon. It is as we feared, Captain. They forced him to use pronouns and his dick fell off. But you knew she couldn't get out of the thing without pronouns. Hold on.
Place, because she's another person that went on a long cry for help, right? These people are suffering on the inside. They're completely empty on this inside. What they really need is spiritual growth and development in God. And so what they instead try to fill it with is pronouns and bios and extreme cries for attention, like pretending to be pregnant or pretending to, as Demi Lovato once did, ghost hunt or say that you identify as an alien. Those are real things that Demi Lovato did. And rather than society looking at her and saying, JoJo, you're not really a lesbian, just like you aren't really pregnant, but you do need to put down the camera and go on a soul search, they applaud her and they encourage her. And this is going to put her down a dark path. This is a prediction, and it's one of these ones I hope I'm not right about, but I can see a person when they're suffering, and that's exactly what JoJo Siwa is. So prayers for JoJo Siwa.
Yeah, prayers. Isn't it fun how it always ends in prayers when you just sit there and attack somebody?
It's
and
always
attack
prayer.
Them and... Well, the funny thing is, JoJo wasn't taking it lying down, especially not
oh,
with...
Oh, no, I heard she clapped
that. Wasn't lying down with Candio. She just said, hey, I haven't watched the video yet, but if it has anything to do with your caption, respectfully, back the fuck off. Nice.
You know, I don't know why these people try to comfort these pretty kids, okay?
I need to check in with the Department of Blackness here. Is it because I'm just really bothered by the whole vocal the whole vocal stylings and everything. Is it possible that she is Ben Shapiro in blackface drag?
Shut up.
Did I violate a boundary or anything?
No, sis.
Because the more I look at her, the more I keep seeing Ben Shapiro in her face.
It's, wouldn't that just be delicious?
It's weird and unpleasant.
No.
But if it is you,
oh,
Ben, you're valid. We see you.
Speaking of weird and unpleasant, oh my God, I have to find this really quick. There was, I guess, a show on, Netflix. No. On FX called black and white.
Yeah.
And it, black dot. So and it was in the early aughts, and it was filmed here in L.A. And it was Ray Fort Robbins, produced by Ice Cube. Okay. It was a white family and a black family. The white family put on blackface. And the black family did white things, and to see how they could, you know, what it was like to be black and white in this country. And so so there's these young Gen Zers, and I guess they found the show because it only lasted for 6 episodes, right? And Ice Cube even does the theme song from it. And so there's these two young brothers that call this young man's name is Jarvis Johnson, okay? And they do the commentary on each episode. It is painful. You have to watch this, and I'm sending it to you. I'm just sending you the cure, because I'm sitting there like, no, this isn't happening. This really isn't happening. So because I meant to send it to you the other day, I forgot because I could only watch. I watched the first two episodes. I watched the full first episode, and then I watched up to the half of the second episode, and I couldn't do it anymore.
Then it was over.
I don't know what it was. When the white man in blackface came out with the daishiki on.
No. No.
Yes, it's called Black. Right. Mm-hmm. This was a social experiment.
No. I'm not okay. So I just had a note from Billable Rick for you. Lawyer referrable. You said billable. I said referrable. Quit it. Lawyer referral for Tracy's wife, Jan. Robin. About 30 years ago, my ex-wife was placed on a performance correction plan by a major Minnesota company after she went on disability leave following a spontaneous abortion. We hired a good attorney named William Raywald of Woodland Hills, that's R-E-H-W-A-L-D, who ended up...
Say that again, William what?
Raywald, R-E-H-W-A-L-D, of Woodland Hills, who ended up settling the case. Mr. Raywald asserted that my ex-wife was the victim of both pregnancy-related and age discrimination. She was about 37 years old at the time. I'm not sure whether Mr. Raywald is still practicing, but thought I'd pass that on that information on to you to relay to Tracy. Also, my girlfriend during my law school worked for a pro-employee labor law firm in West L.A. called Gilbert and Sackman, a powerful firm which had connections to the Roy Ball and Roy Ball Allard political family. Jan also may want to look into retaining that firm. I hope this information is helpful to Jan.
Thank you. You know, send it to me, sis. You know,
I'll text it to you once I'm off the air.
Yes, please. And thank you, Rick, because it's like, because what bothers me the most about this is the fact that it's no different from what I went through 25 years ago. There was no intent. And so I don't want this, you know, this. You know, I don't want this. I know what it's like to live under this cloud. And so I don't want, you know, anybody that they're like I said, she screwed up. But she should not be, you know, doctor, doc, my, whatever, but, you know, to take And like they said, they can keep her on suspended unpaid leave until they decide to bring her back. And then they can just turn her on the fire.
Yeah, I think I think it's best to lawyer up quick.
Yeah, that's what I told her. I said, just lawyer, you know. But yeah, when you get a chance, you know, after the show, if you could text me. And again, thank you, Billable, for that information, because I, if you're going to fire me, let's go. And so I can move on with my life. And then I can sue the fuck out of you.
Okay, I got Gilbert and Sackman here. So, I'd say this, given it was 30 years ago, I don't know if Mr. Raywald would still be practicing, but I bet law firms seldom die. So,
no.
Yeah.
We don't die, we multiply.
No kidding. Well, I'm sorry you've had such tribulations and trials, and I really am. And I'm gonna trust that things are gonna get better. And you tell Jan that she's got the entire Horn Family Community Congregation in her corner, sending all the good energy. And we'll just
wait
wait for good news.
Right, and if you wind up with, you know, a multi-million-dollar settlement, hey, the more the better. But again, I love you guys. Thank you.
You have a good night, and you be safe going home. You hear?
Yes, I will.
All right, we'll talk to you later.
You be good. All right, baby. Love you. Bye.
I love you. Bye. And so that's the program, y'all. Looks like tomorrow's fundraising goal was $1,680. Thank you, Mark, Uncle Smokey, for keeping it from being a goose egg today. Thank you so much. And thank you for making the challenge, Don, in British Columbia. I wish we had met it. There's $45 to go on that. If anybody would like to jump in at the last minute or overnight, be much obliged. Thanks to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thank you so much to our a la carte contributors. Thank you to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks in the chat room to Roger earlier. Don't know if... thank you, Brother Bishop Steve from Georgia Stan, all around great guy. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. Remember, hit that like and subscribe wherever you listen to the podcast. Pretty please, leave a comment. Makes the algorithms happy. Helps people know we're here. And press that like button on the TuneIn player. Okay? Thank you. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 20-plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia, at a proud union shop. Please stay safe. Get your booster. Get a flu shot. What the hell? Why not? Wipe down your surfaces, RSV, socks. And maybe wipe down your surfaces because that nasty-ass fungus that's out there in a whole bunch of states in D.C. Wear your mask when you're among the maggots because they're a filthy lot. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Use your hand sanitizer wherever you go, pocket or purse. Don't drink it. Just put it on your hands. Don't be like the deacons. Maintain your social distance 15 to 20 feet like Paul from Parts Unknown says. And if somebody who looks a lot like Ben Shapiro in blackface drag comes towards you talking about, I know who the real lesbians are, well, avoid her like the plague. Because candy O is. Toxic candies. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later.